Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, it's time for Training Tech Talk.
Training Tech Talk!
Here we are again.
Yay, Training Tech Talk! TTT!
Yeah. Wow, kind of loud today.
Yeah, you know me with TTT. Awesome.
TTT, triple T. Time for the triple T. Down to the D.
Yeah.
Okay, that's all the rapping I can do. I don't know. You're probably better at it. You're much better at rapping than I am.
Oh, thank you. My Christmas presents do look great.
Oh, you're a quick wit there, one. Yeah.
I am so fast. Lightning fast.
Lightning fast. Mm. Well, I thought today, since this is kind of winding down, a lot of people are saying, it's my last day at work. Oh, it's my last day. I'm going on Christmas vacation.
That's right.
Like, some of us continue to work through the holidays, which is fine.
Yes.
It's how we pay the bills.
How does
that feel? Yeah, right. So
yeah,
I thought we would review.
I stay at home.
Yeah.
One shot.
You're one shot. So speaking of one shot, so this is our year in review show. I thought we would kind of look back on, you know, what happened in the training arena in 2015. And I have to say, nothing that was like, whoa, this is going to be the next big thing.
Right.
And there wasn't one event that I could kind of pinpoint that said, this was pivotal, or this was significant, or this was, you know, something to look out for.
Well, here's one thing I did notice. It's not specifically a technological advancement, but however, it seems like people are spending a little more money on training again.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I think, is a good thing.
Yes.
A good sign
of the
economy.
I would agree with that. Well, they're hiring more people. You know, unemployment's decreasing.
Legitimately hiring, not like the temp hire thing. They're, like, bringing people on. Yeah.
I think probably the thing that a theme that I kept seeing was brain-based learning, which is like, what does that mean? You weren't using your brain before?
Right. Were we using our ears or our fingers? What were we doing?
Yeah, we're like, what's
brain-based training. What?
Yeah. It's like, okay, that's old news. And anyway, so that was kind of one theme that I thought. And you know, I thought mobile would be, you know, taking a little bit stronger stand, but that hasn't really happened either.
I think people realize that on the tiny screen, they may not just want to do that stuff. And as I have experienced, I have unusual results happen sometimes with my tablet.
Yeah.
Things that get emailed to people that I did not mean to email at all.
But yes, I've been the recipient of that.
Yeah, you do. But, yeah, there's some unusual, undocumented features with my tablet sometimes. I go back to my computer. I'm like, I will just do this on my computer and it will work right.
Well, speaking of that, I think that's one thing is that people are trying to at least create content that is accessible from any device.
Yes.
I say that would probably be one thing that's anytime you start a project now, it's like, okay, one of the requirements is it has to be viewed on a PC, this is browser. Has to be an Android, iOS, tablet, you know, so it has to do what, the term's going to escape my head.
What?
Responsive. It has to be a responsive design. You know what that is, right?
Well, I'm gonna just go out on a limb and say, I have a definition of responsive, but let's make sure you and I are speaking about the same thing. We're talking about it has to respond to you quickly, like we're talking about bandwidth. Management?
Nope.
What are we talking about?
Well,
see,
so
good thing I said that.
Yeah, so in the web builder world or WordPress world, you know, they call this a responsive design. So it will resize the screen, the graphics, optimize for whatever device you're viewing it from. So it will detect the browser that you're using. So when you do responsive design in a website, if you've ever noticed somebody that's done that, you'll notice that the hardcore menu and tabs doesn't necessarily show up. It shows up as a little kind of widget on the side, and then when you click on the widget, it opens up whatever those tabs were on the regular version of the website.
Yes.
So that's,
and I
that's
also
kind
noticed
of
they have a little button that says, would you like to see the desktop view?
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
And I could say, no, I like it this way. I can see everything.
Right. And so that's,
gotcha.
Any
that's
website
responsive.
Today should be using that style. So that's kind of a technique that now they're kind of moving in towards the training arena with that as well. So, but I would say one thing I've seen, not necessarily in the corporate space, but continues to build, I see startups that are still starting up a company around this service, and it's designing mm-hmm. kind of these pop-up training events or Udemy, which is a complete website, web-friendly version of different short mini courses.
Mm-hmm.
And they're kind of like MOOCs. Some, I think there's MOOCs within those types of things. I think our buddies over at I should have made my list better, but where you're a curator of content. There's a lot of tools out there now that I think are getting stronger and stronger around. I'm going to curate some content, share it, and then build in all the social media links to let you kind of share it that way too.
Right.
So that's, I would say that's a trend that's increasing. It's been around, but I think it's increasing. And more people, you know, want to give themselves additional skills to make themselves more marketable because, as you were saying earlier, and I just heard this on the radio yesterday, said not only is unemployment down, but now it's harder to find the talent you want. So that means that employers now have to start offering a higher wage to attract
better benefits
people
packages,
that they want.
Better
right.
time off. Yeah.
Yep. I wish I worked for that company. What was the company in Texas yesterday that gave every employee $100,000?
What? I totally missed that.
Yeah. Some Texas company was like $100 million or something like that.
I think you should copycat that, Nancy.
Oh, really? Oh. Yeah, I'll be the first one in line.
Yes, I was going to say, there might be several employees that might be really deserving of such a generosity.
Here it is, Hill Corp. I would agree with that. Not that I don't think
wow.
it was.
Wow, that's fantastic.
Yeah, Hill
that
Corp.
That is so cool.
Oil
I
and
that
natural gas.
Absolutely, sincerely.
Hmm. Yeah, well, we know the oil business is good. Oil and natural gas. Maybe there's a tax write-off.
Who knows? You know what? But maybe they just did really well. I don't know. But, you know, more power to them.
Yeah. Hey.
I worked at a company that used to do a lot of things that I don't believe they do anymore because it's just they can't do it anymore. But it was really awesome to be there when they could.
Yeah.
And like at 5 years, I got a beautiful Tiffany necklace.
Wow.
I had a choice of many things, and I chose that. But, I mean, it was like it was just a nice thing that, you know, I think a lot of companies don't have the funds to do that or, you know, certainly
oh,
don't have the...
Oh, that reminds me of another trend.
What?
That we saw this year. Gaming. Badges.
Yes.
And gamification. Okay, so that would
yes.
be the one thing that I say was really kind of exploding this year. And we already kind of covered that on one of our shows, but I would say that's probably something, you know, I turn around thinking, when did gaming become the thing? Or when did this become
yeah.
a proven methodology for delivering training or performance support? I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm just saying everybody and their brother now is turning something into gamification.
Absolutely. And storification, you know, at making a,
yep.
a story, getting our scenarios to be, I'm seeing this a lot more in the stuff that I read for people,
mm-hmm.
is that they are creating more engaging scenario-based assessments
yeah.
within their training. Which is really
which
nice.
Is good.
Or
yeah,
going through and kind of talking about some stuff and then talking about and then bringing some sort of case study into the thing to kind of really bring home the point that they're trying to make. Really nice.
Yeah.
Really interesting training.
Yeah.
That's a point.
And I'm glad to see that because, you know, a lot of times we can't control what our customers want in their training. And I just cringe sometimes, like, really? This is your test.
As much as we want to.
a monkey could pass this. I mean, come on. What are you really testing? That they're breathing?
You know every answer is B. Kidding. I'm kidding.
Yep. That's right. Or at least you'd be safe at guessing that is every answer.
It could be.
Yeah.
Could be.
So, yeah, so gaming, kind of the online group learning or the on-demand classes that are not necessarily structured around, like, say, a specific curriculum, I see that as a growing trend. And then the curation of content, that's another area. You know, and I thought I would see more digital kind of, if you get like a magazine that's digital, it has certain, like a page turn, has certain things that you can do to bookmark and some of those things. I'm surprised I haven't seen more content coming out like that as well, like manuals or some kind of marketing material that's in that style, because that's another tool that will, you know, change its shape and size depending upon the browser that you're using. But it's just a, I think, a more friendly way of presenting content that's all text-based. But I haven't seen, and then make it interactive. So, like, let's say it's referencing something that you want to go do more research on. Maybe there's a hyperlink to that that then takes you outside of that document to a video or to an audio file or, you know, something like that. Which, you know, there's lots of tools out there that'll do that, but I haven't seen them being heavily used. Maybe it's just something people haven't thought of.
You know what I'm seeing too, Nancy? Maybe this is, I'm seeing more video being incorporated in. Let's watch this thing.
Yep.
Which is great. Utilizing some short video kind of stuff. And I have been seeing some repurposing of material too, which has been nice.
Yeah, and I think just because the cost, well, number one, the production value does not have to be professionally produced anymore. People are very forgiving of, oh, you made this in your garage kind of thing, you know, because everybody watches YouTube videos, videos on Facebook, videos on whatever, Twitter. You know, the one thing I thought would be kind of fun to use is the live streaming video from Twitter. What's it called? Boy, my brain is just fried today for some reason.
Oh, no.
It's the name of an animal.
Rapid rabbit. We,
we talked about I'm looking at my phone. Periscope. Okay. There's another one that's the name of an animal.
That's
too.
Not
Periscope.
An animal. That's a submarine.
Yeah. But I want to test that out and be, because you know what Periscope is, right?
Mm-hmm.
So for those of you listening, if you haven't heard of it by now, it's a way, you have to have a Twitter account, and it's a separate app, though, on your phone, and it's, obviously you have to have a camera. It lets you live stream from your device, and then anybody can watch it. And so what happens is I'll log into it right now just to
do you know
see
I have actually participated in an event like that, and we had people from all over the world watching us.
Yeah,
because
we
have a young woman on our improvised Jane Austen team that loves to do that, and we had
perfect
brunch with somebody. We periscoped ourselves at brunch.
That's awesome. Yeah, so I can look at a map and I see that in the Midwest right now there's 13. Things going on, running errands.
Carly,
somebody's periscoping. It's here. My surprise.
Vicky might be doing it too.
Let me Miss Maryland. What am I going to get an eyeful of here?
Now you
it's
don't
here.
Know.
My surprise. Oh, it's in Wentzville, Missouri. I know where that is. It's loading. It is. Oh, it looks like a Vitamixer or what do you call it?
Oh, like a shark.
Oh, she's unwrapping it now. They don't want you to open it. Somebody writes, don't open it. Somebody's opening presents. Well, okay, I just
that's
didn't
adorable
watch that. But you're right. So you can look globally anywhere in the world. And let's see what's happening on the world side of the world that's supposed to be sleeping right now. Is there anything going on?
Some people are up.
Some people are up. Still loading. And I love this. I love this idea. And I think this is kind of, I'm trying to think of what it would compare to. So you could have it. There are some, I think we talked about this maybe a couple of years back, where the unconference. Do you remember that topic?
Yes. Yes.
Well, basically, you could have a virtual unconference conference on a certain topic, and Periscope it. And to see who globally jumps in and starts to contribute to this topic that you're talking about. I mean, that's kind of what some of these things are. I mean, most of it's just kind of silly stuff, and you wouldn't want to spend any time like, oh, okay, let me watch you eat your dinner. But now television broadcasters are some of the heaviest users of this. They'll be periscoping them doing the news.
Wow.
To build an audience, a social media audience, which I thought, wait a minute, can they just watch you? But some people don't have that news channel.
Right.
You know, so if it's a local NBC station and you're not in that state, you're not going to be able to see it. So I think they're doing that to build their audience.
Interesting.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm in Russia right now. I can't read this Russian. What's going on? Looks like, no, I don't want to go there. It looks like someone in their underwear.
It's not like
so anyway,
roulette, though.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So I think this is a trend that I think we're going to see the corporate arena should take advantage of. I personally feel that way, as long as they're not doing things that are obviously confidential and proprietary to the organization. But
mm-hmm.
even trade shows, I think, should encourage people to Periscope. They're heavy
Absolutely.
Promoters of, you know, Twitter and all that. So why aren't you letting people Periscope? My fear is they'll probably say, oh, well, then people won't need to come because somebody else will be there with a live video shooting it for them. Which is
because
like, oh, yeah, the video's
seeing
okay.
Seeing it on a screen is just the same as being there. Not
yeah,
at all.
Yeah.
I think it's just an optional. And I don't think you have to do it for 10 hours. You do it for five
no.
minutes. It's not
yeah.
a long thing. It's short. It's, you know, that's my take on it, at least. That's
yeah.
To be.
Yeah. So I would say watch out for that one, or watch out for similar tools. I mean, there's still the continuing growth of virtual whiteboarding collaboration tools out there. Those are getting better and better, I think. And then there are a couple of companies out there now that will record the audio that goes in there, and then it will put markers on it so you can jump to a certain section of a recorded presentation without having to sit through the whole thing. But that's been around for a while, too. So, yeah, so I'm thinking, what's ahead for 2016? I think, as we stated earlier, there's a hiring trend. So we're going to continue to see kind of onboarding types of skills being addressed. But I also wonder if that people are looking at the age of the people that are employed that are going to be leaving over the next 3 to 5 years. What are they doing from a knowledge management standpoint of collecting that knowledge before it walks out the door?
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah.
Will they
and
see
so,
it as valuable enough to try to keep it?
Right. So this is a, here's an ebook, just like I was talking about, that's Trends in Training Industry Magazine put this out just this winter. So I'll put a link to this. But it has, I'll just kind of cherry pick a couple of the chapters that are in this. A new role for instructional design, which would be interesting. The business potential of cloud-based learning, which I'm not quite sure what that means, but learning that's in the cloud, probably what we are referencing as far as these other kind of mini MOOCs.
Mm-hmm.
Bite-sized learning turns less into more. And then there's a case study about the Boy Scouts of America reimagining the learning experience. And then Communities of Practice, the Future of Workplace Learning. So it's about 57 pages long, so somebody's put a lot of time and resources into building this document. So I'll put a link to it if you're listening to this on one of our other streaming media platforms. So just go to knowledgeshift.net. And under resources, look for the blog, and it should be a post on our blog. Let's see here. How much time we got? So we got about 10 minutes left. Wow. Wow, time flies. Okay.
Yeah.
So, you know, you do a lot of voice work. So is there anything new that you would say in either voice recording tools or the way that people are having you record character voices?
Okay, here's my feeling, and this is strictly my opinion, but I feel that as far as what is happening in the world of narrating e-learning courses, for sure, is there are more characters. We're getting much more real, authentic, having a conversation with the person.
Ooh,
the writing seems to be getting more informal. And I think they're liking, because I seem to be getting a lot of work, a delivery that's much more assuming that there is a friend on the other side of this microphone that you're talking to. So it's less that kind of announcery narration that I think makes you just immediately fall to sleep, and much more engaging text. Now, the thing is, the text sometimes doesn't always match that voicing, so I think it creates a little bit more of a creative challenge for the narrator. But that seems to me to be the thing that continues to bring clients back again and again and again. Is I'll even get stuff where they'll have somebody else have recorded it. Hey, we've got this audio for this video. We really like you to replace the audio. And you listen to it, and you're like, wow, this is really unconnected speech. And what I mean by that is they are not connecting with what they're saying to any sort of meaning. And maybe it is you don't know what you're saying. But I think that it is imperative for voice talent out there to find out what it means then. Make it meaningful to you. Learn what you're saying. And get back with the subject matter expert and say, I really want to do something where I'm conveying what's being said. So help me understand what I'm saying if you're having trouble with terminology and stuff. But that's what I see is a much more informal, conversational. I ask people, actually, when I'm talking with a new client, are we looking at a peer-to-peer kind of conversation? Like maybe I'm just a more knowledgeable peer, I'm more senior peer, but I'm still your peer. Or are we talking about a manager talking to an
employee? That's a good idea.
And there's a slight tone difference that really, I think, overlays the entire script. And financial stuff typically is going to be that manager-to-employee conversation. I don't know, research and development people seem to be very peer-to-peer kind of communicating.
Right.
But still just trying to be as friendly as possible. And I'm trying to apply some of my commercial selling kind of concepts. And what I mean by that is taking words that are emotional words and letting them have a little life and emotion in them. When we're talking about something being a delighter, you know, delighting is a nice thing, you know. So let's kind of feel smiley when we're saying this is a delighter, you know, this is something that's interesting to our customers. What's important to us, you know?
Yeah. All right. So to wrap up, I have found another post for the key e-learning trends for 2016.
Wrap it
up. There's seven of them.
I'll take it.
Okay, so number one, automation. Numerous education reports predict that 2016 will be the year when automation will finally become a crucial aspect of both content creation and processing. That'll be interesting. Number two, augmented learning, which I have been a huge fan of for the last six or 7 years. We've been way ahead of that curve, way ahead of that curve.
Wow, that curve seems to keep running away from us.
Come back. Number three, big data, and we're right on top of that one too with our emotion analytics. In our ability to transcribe voice in our simulations. So that's on trend. Going for the cloud. So here's what their explanation of this is: the use of cloud is on the rise in every sector. Enterprises are willing to embrace the functionality, comfort, and security of the cloud, even though many people still think there's not a good idea. Come on, get to the point. Predicts use of cloud-based authoring tools. Oh, okay. Learning platforms. Okay. There already are authoring tools in the cloud, so that's not new. Number five, gamification. Okay. That's going to be old news next year. Number six, M-learning. Well, M-learning, where are you? Because we thought you'd be here by now. What exactly is M-learning? Well, and what it's consequences, using M learning technologies, learners will have all the wealth of knowledge accessible at all times and place. Everything from contextual learning achieved through micro-location technologies, QR codes, GPS, that will return learning to its context, allow for much better use of augmented reality. So they're blending. I've been on that bandwagon for years. Okay. And number seven, which this is one I want to try in our immersive simulation tool, personalization. Wouldn't it be neat if we could make the coach, which we can't, I'm almost positive we'll be able to do this, when you start a simulation, like a call center agent, it'll say, hello, Nancy, thanks, this is your lesson on blah, blah, blah. And whoever is being trained, it'll be able to say, hello, place name in here of the learner. And
wow.
Personalizes. Yeah.
Wow.
I think it'll be able to do that. I'm going to try it out.
I want to know how it's going to do a name that is not your traditional Sam, Dick,
oh.
Peter, Amy, Mary.
Hello, Huthwaite.
Yeah.
Hogwarts. Hello, Hogwarts.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
Hermione.
It'll say it. It's just text-to-speech. So that'll work. I'm going to try it out.
So Hermione's not going to be Hermione.
I will test that one out. This afternoon.
There you go.
I just want to see how that comes out. So, all right. So now
we're
down to
haggard.
The last three minutes to go.
3 minutes to go.
So I would say that that covers it pretty well. I mean, we covered what the past was. We're covering what the future was. Oh, wait. We got to check with the audience. Okay, there we go. They're getting ready to, you know, get the heck out of here and get their vacation started, too.
Absolutely.
So on that note, you know, go to knowledgeshift.net. Check out all of our training Tech Talk shows, our Triple T's.
And this is the end of the year, Nancy.
End of the year. So if you have any topics you want to cover in 2016, send me an email, nancy@knowledgeshift.net. All right, Allison, thank you again.
Thank you, Nancy.